Have you ever bragged about how little sleep you got last night?
Celebrated working through the weekend?
Felt guilty taking a sick day unless you were practically unconscious?
We've somehow arrived at a cultural moment where exhaustion is currency and rest feels like failure.
We wear our burnout like a medal, posting about the grind as if chronic stress makes us morally superior rather than simply depleted.
This paradox defines our generation's relationship with work.
We're simultaneously called lazy for wanting work-life balance and workaholics for never logging off.
We've inherited a world of economic crashes and climate crises, yet we're told our financial struggles stem from overpriced coffee rather than systemic inequality.
Meanwhile, we've internalized a toxic belief that our productivity determines our worth as humans.
This thinking has created what we might call performative workaholism, where even our downtime must be optimized, photographed, and posted as proof that we're living our best lives.
We're drowning in purpose. Every career guru insists we find work that fulfills our deepest calling, but this obsession has become its own prison. The truth? Older generations are more purpose-driven because they met basic needs first. When you're struggling with student debt and housing costs, the pressure to find transcendent meaning in work becomes absurd. The purpose trap frames purpose as a fixed destination, one perfect vocation that makes everything click. But our interests evolve. What captivated us at 20 might bore us at 30. Instead of searching for monolithic purpose, consider self-actualization, the ongoing process of developing your talents and engaging what genuinely interests you. Fill your life with micro-passions, specific activities like problem-solving, and macro-passions, broader interests like sustainability. When you engage these regularly, you experience flow, that state where you're so absorbed that time disappears. Success isn't climbing someone else's ladder. It's building a life that reflects what actually fulfills you.
Master the art of being a lazy workaholic. Work intensely when needed, but delegate, automate, or walk away when efficiency demands it. Know when a task deserves an hour versus a month, when to obsess over details versus when to let go. Working smart requires brutal honesty about priorities and relentless discipline. Sometimes you need tough love. Finishing that project might improve your mental health more than another lavender-scented bath. Start with honest prioritization. Replace "I don't have time" with "it's not a priority." The Eisenhower method sorts tasks into urgent and important, do first, important and not urgent, schedule, urgent and not important, delegate, or neither, eliminate. Skip traditional to-do lists. Try three columns: quick ticks, under 5 minutes, tasks, up to 30 minutes, and projects, multiple steps. Then use time blocking. Schedule specific chunks when your energy matches the work. Creative tasks during peak hours, administrative work when you're naturally lower energy. Productivity isn't about squeezing more into every hour. It's about directing your finite energy toward what actually matters.
We've become obsessed with output, while forgetting that how we work matters as much as what we produce. Enjoying your work isn't self-indulgent. It's essential for quality and longevity. Flow, that magical state where skill meets challenge, is where real magic happens. Developed by psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, flow occurs when you're so absorbed in a challenging but manageable task that time disappears. You're at your most creative, productive, and genuinely happy. Entering flow is like a plane taking flight. The runway requires 10 to 20 minutes to build momentum before takeoff. Once airborne, you're fully absorbed and uninterested in distractions. Landing happens either through planned conclusion or when concentration lapses. Flow has a dark side. You can forget physical needs and work yourself into exhaustion. During breaks, avoid your phone. It leads to mindless scrolling rather than recovery. Do something physical instead: jumping jacks, a walk, stretching. To ease re-entry, try ending mid-task, even mid-sentence, Hemingway style, so you have an obvious entry point when you return.
In an automated world, your creative uniqueness, how you approach tasks reflecting your individuality, is your most valuable asset. This isn't about being an artist. It's about bringing your distinct perspective to whatever you do. Assess your audience and requirements to determine creative freedom. Even with resistant managers, introduce creativity strategically. Discuss your approach early, frame ideas as suggestions, and build trust with your strongest work first. Build confidence by finding champions who believe in your approach and stress testing ideas by anticipating objections. Here's the liberating truth. Failure builds confidence when you learn from it. Many discover they love the idea of their jobs, but hate the reality because they're playing a role rather than leveraging actual strengths. Find the middle ground by discovering your micro-passions, increasing skills through self-education, concentrating on flow-inducing tasks, and minimizing dreaded activities into focused blocks. This isn't indulgent, it's where your best work lives and how you avoid burning out.
Success once followed clear templates: marriage for women, careers for men. These stereotypes were suffocating but legible. Today's freedom has created a crisis of choice, endless possibilities that feel paralyzing rather than liberating. Social media weaponizes this confusion. We measure ourselves against highlight reels without seeing the teams, privileges, hours, and luck behind each announcement. Success is a complex puzzle of opportunity, privilege, hard work, and timing. Goal setting provides structure to define success on your terms. Use the SAMART framework: specific, clearly defined; measurable, you know when you've reached it; achievable, realistic given resources; relevant, aligned with values; and time-bound, with real deadlines. Keep goals visible as constant reminders. When you miss goals, avoid the failure spiral. Distinguish between self-criticism, "I'm stupid," and self-accountability, "What can I learn?" Hold yourself accountable without self-flagellation. Your version of success might look nothing like anyone else's. That's the point. The only failure is climbing someone else's ladder only to discover it was leaning against the wrong wall.
We've normalized working while sick and made rest feel impossible to justify. Remote work has intensified this, making no days off seem aspirational rather than alarming. Here's the truth. We're electric cars needing regular recharging, not petrol cars refueling instantly. Rest isn't optional. It's essential for productivity, quality, mood, and mental health. Effective rest requires two forms: planned nothing and fuck it nothing. Planned nothing means scheduling specific rest times, 2 weekday evenings, full weekends off. When nothing is planned, it never feels like procrastination because you've granted permission. Fuck it nothing serves as a safety net for unexpected drains. For those with constraints, find small moments: a 30-minute break during nap time, a mindful lunch, an evening walk. True self-care isn't face masks and Netflix. It's understanding what you need versus want. Sometimes self-care means productivity. Sometimes it means stepping back. In a world equating busyness with importance, choosing nothing becomes radical. Your worth isn't your productivity. Rest isn't earned through exhaustion. It's the foundation making everything possible.